incarnate come to us, the Lord Jesus, the Son, born as a baby, as one of us. We thank you that he is the one who is wiser than Solomon. And so we pray that as we reflect on his words to us today, that you may speak to our hearts and move us by your Spirit to obey your word, that we may be a blessing to our neighbors and live to the praise of your glory. Amen. So as I said, we're looking at, we're starting this new series, Stories Along the Way. Jesus in Luke's gospel tells a whole lot of parables on the way to Jerusalem to his disciples. And as we reflect on those stories together, it's a way that we can learn, like his disciples, to grow as followers of Jesus. And our the first parable is this one, the Good Samaritan. It's such a famous phrase that it's entered our vocabulary and the moral compass of Western society. If you saw in the last couple of days the Queen's speech, she mentioned Good Samaritans, the ideal of caring for strangers in need. But that kind of familiarity and fame gives us a bit of a problem. The story is so well known, how are we going to feel its power again? And so to help us kind of have a look at this story with fresh eyes, I'm enlisting the help of two artists, the Dutch Catholic Rembrandt and the French symbolist painter Gustave Moreau. And so it's also one of the fun things about having the screen. We can have some pictures, very exciting. So here is Rembrandt's take on the parable from 1638. And I hope I know it's probably a little bit hard if you're at the back of the church. You're welcome to come a bit closer if you want to get a better look. But hopefully you'll be able to make out most of it. Now, Rembrandt is one of my favorite painters. But I have to say, this is not one of his best. Having said that, sitting with this painting will help us meditate on the parable. So the first thing we notice is that the painting is set in the last scene of the story. The Samaritan has arrived at the inn. You might see him there speaking with the innkeeper. It seems he's negotiating the price of their stay. They're up on the stairs there, just in the doorway. There's a burly man, perhaps from the inn, who's straining to lift the injured man from what looks like a horse rather than a donkey. It's pretty kind of robust, muscular horse, donkey rather. Anyway, and the injured man, like kind of all of Rembrandt's paintings, you know, he's always does amazing stuff with light. So this one, we kind of, our eyes are drawn to that central figure who's incredibly pale, no doubt from the trauma he's suffered. If you get a bit closer, you can see he's got a bandage on his head with some blood on it. Another man holds the horse patiently, and the setting kind of seems to be that of a tranquil village life. There's a woman at the well. You might not be able to see it, but she's kind of there on the right, and two chickens scuttle past. Only the bandage on the head of the semi-naked man tells us of the violence that has led up to this point. But there's one last figure. I don't know whether you saw him. Here he is, just there on the left, in the window, on the right of the frame, the left of the frame. Actually, that's your right, isn't it? Oh, gosh. It's always tricky doing the inverse. Anyway, so he's there, he's in the window, and he's kind of gazing out on the scene before him. Now, is he simply a guest looking on, wondering what events have led up to this point? What's happened to the man on the horse? Who is his benefactor? And as he wonders, we too are invited to recall the parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. a priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The man, the priest, and the Levite were all headed from Jerusalem to Jericho. Was the Samaritan headed in the same way, I wonder? Could it be that they were all actually staying at the same inn? Could the man in the window be the priest or the Levite? And we can imagine him looking out and seeing this Samaritan. His clothes give him away. He's from a different country, our enemies even. And he arrives with the injured man. The man he'd passed by. The Levite and the priest had passed by on the road. So he was alive after all, you can hear him saying to himself. Well, I'm glad. I would have helped him if I'd known. But you didn't, did you? No, but what if he was dead? I'd have been defiled. And in any case, who knows whether he's a Jew or not? We're only commanded to help our brothers after all. He wasn't my responsibility. Better a man who's unclean anyway take the risk. You won't even say that the Samaritan helped him. And so the man goes on justifying himself. And we wonder, does the man in the window stand for the scribe, the teacher of the law to whom Jesus tells this parable? He looks in on the story from the outside. Or is it from the inside? The figure is inside the inn. There are others attending to the injured man. Will he go out and help this man, his fellow guest, his neighbor? Or will he remain unmoved by what he's seen? Will he keep trying to justify himself? What would it have been like to be this scribe hearing Jesus' parable? His question to Jesus doesn't come from a genuine heart. He stands and challenges the teacher rather than sitting at Jesus' feet to learn. He thinks he can earn an inheritance rather than receiving it as a gift. He tries to draw boundaries over who his neighbor might be. But Jesus will not be drawn in. Instead, he draws out what is in the scribe's heart. But let's return to the figure in the window one last time. Does he stand for us, those looking at the painting? We who hear not just Jesus' parable, but also its context, that Jesus told this parable to a scribe who wanted to justify himself. And so the question comes to us. Will we be a neighbor? Will we show mercy? Will we go and do likewise? We who know the full story of the gospel, we who know the full extent of the mercy God has shown us. Rembrandt gives us a hint of the bigger picture in a detail we skipped over earlier. It's there on the left. I don't know whether you can see it there. The woman at the well. I wonder whether Rembrandt wants us to recall that other Samaritan story in John chapter 4, where Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at a well. And she finds in him the living water of salvation. In John's gospel, it's only the Samaritans who name Jesus as the savior of the whole world. Does Rembrandt Rembrandt want us to recall Jesus' critique of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, that it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I wonder if Rembrandt's asking us, will you be like that scribe, that teacher of the law? Like the Pharisee in Luke 7, who instead of loving our neighbor, do we judge them and so deny the grace that we've received? If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. But Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he has been forgiven little, loves little. What sort of excuses do we make to avoid loving our neighbors? How do we try and justify ourselves? Are we so busy that we ignore those in need whom we come across? Are there neighbors who are just invisible to us? Worse still, are there neighbors who we really just want to pass by? Well, to help us feel the force of this parable, we're going to have a look at another painting, this time by the symbolist painter Gustave Moreau, and he makes an astonishing connection. Traditionally, the Samaritan in the story has been identified with Jesus, and I'm convinced that that is right. But Moreau takes things in a slightly different direction. I wonder whether you can see it there. In his vision, it's not the Samaritan who's the stricken man, but it's Christ. The robe draped over the naked man, his prone figure, his bowed head, his arms splayed out. They look like images of Christ as he's taken down from the cross. The severe landscape suggests the creation itself rising up to assault its maker. And I think Moreau has picked up on another of Jesus' parables and linked it to the Good Samaritan, namely that parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. Do you remember Jesus' words from that parable? For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of one of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Both Rembrandt and Moreau, in their own ways, confront us with the ethical challenge of this parable. Will I love my neighbor as myself? Will I recognize in my neighbor in need Christ himself and an opportunity to serve the God I claim to love? But where can we find the resources to do this? Where can we find the resources not just to love our neighbors, but even our enemies? Well, the answer lies in something that I don't know whether this is true, but perhaps both Rembrandt and Moreau have missed. Where in the parable do we find the scribe to whom the story is addressed? Our first thought is that he's either the priest or the Levite. And yet he's neither. Nor is he the innkeeper or even the Samaritan. No, the scribe is the man waylaid upon the way, beaten and helpless. He's the one naked and broken, close to death. You see, even as this parable is a picture of the command to love your neighbor as yourself, it is also a picture of the gospel. And that is the secret spiritual power of this parable that gives us the resources to live out this ethical command. The scribe is the one who is sick and in need of a doctor. He's the sinner in need of forgiveness. And we stand with him in our helplessness, in our brokenness, lying at death's door. Jesus meets us. He comes to his own, but his own reject him. He's the outsider, despised and rejected by the very one who meets him on the way. And even to this one, he reaches down in compassion. Even toward those who nailed him to the tree, he stretches out his arms in love. Even to us who fail him, who sin against him, he extends his hands of grace. He is our neighbor. It's only as we see our helplessness, it's only as we see the grace of the Lord Jesus to us, it's only here that we'll find the resources to love our neighbors as ourselves. As we heard on Christmas Day, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Well, that image of the Good Samaritan, it's something the church has given to Western society. And it's kind of got down into our DNA. But who in the story do people see us as the church as? Do they see us as the Good Samaritan or as the priest and Levite? Do we as the church live out this parable so that when people think of a Good Samaritan, they think of us? Are we, to use Paul's words from Titus, making the teaching of God our Savior beautiful by loving our neighbors? This is a task for each of us individually as followers of Christ, but it's also our task corporately as God's people. And it's only as the church lives out this parable that all the bad press that the church gets, with pedophile priests and prosperity preachers, that bad press we have to wear, it's only as our churches are communities of grace living out this parable to the watching world that people will be able to see past that bad press to the one to whom this parable points, the one to whom we're to point, the one who's been a good neighbor to us, Christ himself. So what does it look like in practice? That's a very big question, isn't it? Much more beyond this sermon. But it's something that we do together as a community of grace. And there's lots of opportunities to, with different agencies that exist, to live this story out. I know Pip from our 8 o'clock congregation and Claire help out with Mission Australia. Charlotte, who's often here at 10, she works with Anglicare and you could talk with them. And it's something I'd love to see us grow in as a church, perhaps as we move into 2021. But today I'd like to speak to each of you personally. Why don't you take some time to reflect? Who's the neighbor that I'm neglecting who needs God's compassion? Set it in your hearts to pray for that person regularly. Plan how you might reach out to them in compassion. And ask God to open your heart that you might see the world as he does. Ask him to give you his heart of compassion. Ask him to remind you that that you only stand because of the grace of Christ. And so that your first movement toward others is always one of grace. And so that you may be open and ready to act when you find a stranger on the way. That image of the Good Samaritan is the promise of a shared humanity. Without the power of Christ's grace, it's a promise that so often fails. And the secret of this parable is that of God sharing in our humanity. In Christ, God is our neighbor. And that's the reality that will empower us to love our neighbors, even our enemies. Amen.